Guardian Unlimited.
Hello, you're listening to Guardian Unlimited. I'm Andrew Dixon, and you join me today directly outside the Guardian offices on Farringdon Road in central London, where something very special and very moving has just occurred. In front of me, a monument to activist and writer Ken Saro-Wiwa has just been unveiled. The cover has literally just been pulled off, and behind the noise of the traffic you might just be able to hear the sound of a large group of people who've gathered to pay tribute. It's November the 10th today, 11 years to the day since Ken Saro-Wiwa and 8 other activists were executed by the Nigerian government for protesting against the exploitation of the Niger Delta by oil companies, including Chevron and Shell, a judicial scandal that shocked and outraged the world. But the first thing that strikes you about the sculpture is that it's about as far away from a traditional memorial as you could imagine. It's not a statue. There's no plinth in sight, and it is in fact a massive steel sculpture in the shape of a Nigerian bus. It's silver, sprayed a kind of glittery gold in places, and on top of it there are oil drums, each representing one of the protesters who was murdered. It looks quite incongruous, in fact, parked here on this busy London street, but I guess that's sort of the point. I watched yesterday as it was moved gingerly into place by the hauliers, and the most amazing thing was the kind of people who'd gathered round just to see what was going on. It certainly makes you stop and stare. A few days ago, I went down to South London to meet the artist whose work the bus is, Zakari Douglas Camp, and also with her, Dan Gretton from Platform, as one of the driving forces behind the project, has been there for 3 years trying to make it happen. I began by asking Zakari to describe the sculpture and explain what lay behind it.
We're looking at the rear end of it, we're looking at the back of this structure, which is a bus, and it's got a very impressive sort of lorry lock on it that was very difficult to put on, but it's the shape of a bus, so it's got gold and copper cold sprayed metal on it, and it's got words around the middle as if it was a logo, and the words say, "I accuse the oil companies of practicing genocide against the Oguni."
And why did you choose the motif of a bus for a monument to Ken Saro-Wiwa? What was the idea behind that?
Ask an artist questions like that because there's just so many thoughts. I thought of a bus because the Platform weren't keen on a figure, neither were Saro-Wiwa's family. And I thought, well, what's this man about? I mean, he's about education, he's about information and oil and transport and all the things that we use daily with trying to catch up with the West. I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to talk about the environment and just how vulnerable we all are. Even though we try to do good, we seem to sort of do bad with it. What I find amusing is that quite a lot of these vehicles in Nigeria are second-hand from the West. And so it's that sort of thing of tying Nigeria and Britain together, and a bus is a good tool for all of that. But it's especially to do with Ken Wiwa and his love of educating people. In this bus, you can sit in this bus. You can have lectures in the bus and you can have workshops. And the idea behind the commission was that it should be a living memorial to Ken Saro-Wiwa.
Now, Dan, that living memorial, I mean, this is meant to be very, very different from your sort of standard sculpture of a public worthy in a public square, isn't it? I mean, this is really meant to be, as Zakari was saying, a kind of a living space.
Well, we wanted to try and get away completely from this idea of sort of Victorian memorials, you know, kind of fixed lumps of bronze, the kind of figures of aristocracy and empire and colonialism, which, if you think about it, a lot of London is. So when we were putting together the commission, we were very inspired. We wanted to get as many proposals in, which were really challenging notions of what a memorial is. And as Zakari has said, this is a living memorial to an incredibly inspiring writer and activist. And we wanted it to be, if you like, a space of provocation where anything can happen, where we can have, you know, lectures, there can be dance pieces, there can be poets, there can be anything. So we hope over the next year or two, as this amazing bus travels around London and the UK, that it will become a kind of focus for so many different kinds of events and activities.
So whereabouts is it going to be visiting?
Well, it has 2 weeks in Farringdon Road, outside the Guardian space, which will run until the 24th of November. And then it goes down to the Arnolfini Gallery in Bristol, and so it will be there for 3 weeks until the middle of December. And it returns back to London. It will be at Goldsmiths College, January through March next year. And then we're talking to other museums. We're talking to Liverpool museums, Hull museums, to try and get it all the way around Britain kind of next year. Obviously, next year is the 200th anniversary of the abolition of slavery. And there's a really important narrative we're trying to tell here in terms of connecting up London, Bristol, Liverpool and Hull. Those sites, which were basically the powerhouses of slavery, if you like, where the banks were, the insurance, and the boats went out, and so it's trying to kind of connect all of that narrative, really.
Now, Sakari, I'm absolutely desperate to ask you: could we crank open the doors and look inside, because it looks absolutely amazing? Doors are coming back and we can look inside a space which is, I think that the paint is still quite fresh, isn't it? You were painting it today. On the walls of the structure there, there's text going around, and it's rather wonderful because it sort of sends patterns onto the floor, projection of those words. What are those words relating to, Sakari?
They're relating to a Without Walls interview by Ken Muir just before he was executed, and I was very startled by his words, and the statement is, I accuse the oil companies of practicing genocide against the Uguni. Of course he said a lot more in the interview, but those were really striking words because I believe that the oil companies are practicing genocide against the whole of the Delta region in Nigeria. So it's something that continues on to this day because my own people, the Kalabari in the Delta, are also suffering in the same way as the Uguni.
And this, how long has it actually taken to do? It's almost a sort of an engineering job as much as anything else.
A frame was made with a wonderful man called Bob. And Bob and I made this frame, and we waited forever for a chassis that would normally carry a caravan or a boat. And this chassis was especially made for us. And it arrived about halfway through the project. We've been working round the clock since the 11th of September. And here we are now on the 8th, and it's nearly done. Just a few little touches here and there. But it's taken that long to make.
A few little touches, and I guess also the rather major process of getting the thing out of the studio. I should say that the studio that we're in is pretty much the same size as the bus, or the bus is the same size as the studio. Dan was just pointing out a moment ago that the oil drums, which are sat on top of the structure, are going to have to be kind of removed and taken off in order for the whole thing to be lifted onto a low loader. And I mean, it's an amazingly this sort of difficult process, isn't it? What's going to happen tomorrow?
Yes, well, the beginning of the process for tomorrow is to cut away a few feet of my studio walls, and since then we've had a hoarding up to protect us while we work in here, the whole thing's going to be pulled out. It's going to be like a birth, actually. It's going to be worrying tomorrow.
And Dan, more seriously, what Sakari was talking about, the behaviour of the oil companies. I mean, on the way here, I passed a Shell garage. I mean, this activity, this fight is still very much ongoing, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, Shell haven't been able to actually produce any oil in Ogoniland since 1993, since the campaign became so effective. But they've still got all their holdings there. They've still got the oil wells there. And so this is really about now putting renewed pressure on the whole idea of, as Sarah Weaver said, it's incredibly racist what the oil companies have been doing there since 1957, since oil was first extracted. The practice of gas flaring, which are those extraordinary images that we've probably mostly seen, or many of us have seen, of gas flares going on, of the land becoming carbonized and unable to be used. I mean, this is one of the few areas in the world where that's allowed to happen. And Sarah Weaver said it's pure racism that Shell do in Nigeria what they cannot do anywhere else. And Chevron and the other companies do that as well. And so we want to shine a light on this and say, in 2006, this is completely outrageous for this kind of thing to be going on. And also to hold to account the people who were involved in Shell at the time. And this is a new departure. We're trying to move from corporate social responsibility, which there's been a lot of discussion about, to actually holding the individuals in those corporations to account, and that hasn't been done enough yet. So on Friday at the press conference, we're going to be actually looking at some of the individuals who held high positions in Shell in 1993 and 1994 and 1995, when Sarawi were and the other eight were killed, and really saying, look, where are these people today? They're still involved. Some of them still involved in the same company. Others have moved to other companies. But we really want this to be the start of a debate, not the end of a process.
Yes, I want people to be aware of the fact that those areas of the world that are used and treated very, very badly. You know, there's sort of dustbin areas of the world and places where you go to just sun yourself and be in luxury. But, you know, in both areas, people live and we just want a little more care and compassion, you know, a little more respect. And if this art piece will help to encourage that, I'll be very pleased.
The artist Sakari Douglas-Camphair explaining her thoughts about the project and what she hopes it'll achieve. Also joining the event today is Ken Sarawiwa's son, Ken Weaver, who's been a prominent part of his father's non-violent campaign and who's flown in specially to witness the unveiling. Just before that happened, I caught up with him and asked him to explain what it meant being back here, 11 years to the day after his father was executed for his beliefs.
It's interesting when you go through a day like we did 11 years ago and people... It's sort of headline news and everybody wants to talk about it and you sort of feel, in a way, the centre of the world, and then very quickly that dissipates and it can be quite sort of destabilising. You know, you think that, you know, the whole issue has died. But to have this come up 11 years later is tremendously satisfying. And, you know, and it means that, you know, long after I'm gone and my children are gone, there'll still be some evidence that, you know, that the man was here and he made an impact.
And that's the important thing about the memorial as well. It's not just a sort of static object. It's a living memorial is what it's being called, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. I mean, I think, yes, there are times when you go through, especially you go through London, you see all these heroes on these statues and it means absolutely very little to you. There are some that, of course, you know, endure. To have a living memorial, you know, hopefully one that means that it will constantly challenge people to ask questions about the past and about the present and the future.
And are you hoping for many people to turn up today to see the unveiling of the bus?
Yeah, it's not just about today, really. I mean, it's if people turn up, that's fine. But if as long as people continue to you know, the bus continues to raise issues and it. And that's the part. That's the point of it. It's a mobile memorial too. So wherever it goes, it will challenge people. So it's not just about today. It's about tomorrow.
And also, it's about a continuing fight, isn't it? I guess what will come up at the press conference in a few minutes' time is the way in which this is a continuing debate, a continuing scandal.
Yeah, it's about what we take from this story. And what we take from this story is something that involves all of us. Is, you know, it's not just about my family, my father, or even the Ogoni. It's something that has an impact on all of us. And, you know, I've said many times before, you know, if you live in the West, you need to start extending your borders of compassion, because it's what's happening in places like the Niger Delta has profound effects on what happens here in London and Beijing and in Washington. And you know, we all know that the world is connected. You know, we're all talking about climate change, and so there's a greater awareness of it. But I think in order to join the dots and make the connections, you really need to drill down into these stories. I think if nothing else, this memorial should hopefully impress upon people that these are not issues that are to do with somebody 11 years ago in a remote place that has no bearing on you. It actively involves and affects you.
The voice of Ken Weaver there, Ken Sarawiwa's son, explaining why this is more than just a monument to a single man or a single event. At the press conference just now, there was a lot of anger, a lot of raised voices, a sense of frustration about how the exploitation of the Niger Delta still continues. A sense, I guess, that what happened in an execution chamber 11 years ago still has and should have tremors today.
clearly the issue stays alive, and you hope that this living monument, as it crosses the country, will do its bit too. If you want to see the bus yourself, it's going to be here on Farringdon Road in central London, outside the Guardian offices, for the next 2 weeks. Then it's off to the Arnold Feeney Gallery in Bristol until mid-December, then after that to Goldsmiths College back here in London. Future locations are still being finalised, but it's hoped that the bus will cross the UK before finally finding a permanent home in London. You can find out about all that on the Remember Sarah Wewer website, which has all sorts of information about the project, about Sarah Wewer himself, and also it has suggestions on how to get involved in the ongoing protests. You can find it at remembersarahwewer.com. Thanks very much for listening.
Guardian Unlimited.